Welcome to the patron Q&A for the month of September 2024. Big stream today, we revealed infantry, or the work in progress version. We played a little sizzle reel, a little teaser. That was fun. I enjoyed showing that off and seeing Nice. Everybody in the chat go, oh my god, finally.
Good work putting that together.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that.
I blew most of my Saturday on editing that, but I think it turned out good.
Definitely. Thank you for your service.
I was slightly worried when you were like, oh, I'll just watch it on stream, because I was like, what if I fucked up some kind of editing choice, and then afterward people are going to be like, I don't know about it. But nah, it was fine.
Yeah. You did well. It was well received. There were a couple of troll comments in the stream. I think I responded to one with, you must be a blast at parties. And then kind of moved on with my life.
Oh, I didn't see any. Funny. See, now I'm going to go back and look at the VOD and be like, someone was trolling? What?
It's like one person. I think they left afterward.
Yeah. No, there's always one. It's, I used to, when we would stream, I would go watch back the VOD because it had a full chat log, and I knew I missed a bunch of chat messages, and I wanted to see what everybody said. But now I'm so used to it, and I've been, I don't know, I'm desensitized to the usual array of comments that are said about the game, that I don't even really feel like I need to see every chat message.
I think that's honestly best. I'm not there yet, but then again, I don't submerge myself into it all too much. But yeah. I do like this. Like, I just like coming on and riffing and talking to people who have comments or questions.
DP Abrams saying in the chat, the stage chat, never read comments. That is a good idea that nobody does.
Yeah.
If we had like a community department, like a big studio does, where they are paid to wade through the slog of reading public comments on social media and then pass the interesting things and important things on to the devs, that would be one thing. But we've got nobody. We're on the front line. If we choose to interact at all on social media, it's just straight in, no shield. So yep. I've had to develop a reflex where I let things bounce off if there's no point in responding. Like, I've had to make rules for myself. Don't respond to haters. Don't respond to people who are like aggressively misunderstanding stuff. Only bother to say something if it's positive or if it's like extremely productive. Like, someone has a problem that I can solve or whatever. Other than that, yeah, no point.
There are folks on the team who are just like, man, I want to just say whatever I want and go about my day, basically. And sometimes it does feel that way. It would definitely feel cathartic.
I crave the catharsis sometimes. Yeah. I daydream about what would happen if just a couple of times I just went off on someone the way that I think they deserved, but it would not reflect well on me. It would be like
never reflects well.
A moment of, haha, gotcha, bitch, and then like forever afterward people would be like, yeah, the dev is actually a really big asshole. Like, look at how he talked to this guy. Anyway.
That dev just looks stupid in glasses. Wait, what?
No, I had contacts on today, motherfucker.
Damn. You did. Good job.
Alright, we've had somebody request to speak, but then they gave up because we were bantering too much. Oh, here we go. It's Doobie.
Oh, before you get into your thing, sorry, one second. If you wish to speak to us and you have a question, do the request to speak thing through the stage, and then we'll let you on.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot
to do the spiel. Yep. I just, at this point, I assume that everybody's done it before, but that's probably not true. Yep, if you want to speak in the Q&A, we prefer that you speak so that it comes through on the audio, because people will listen to the recording later, and we want it to be like, you know, recreate the whole experience. So you can chat in the stage chat, but we're not going to prefer that for answering questions, especially as we get into it. So yeah, click the button to request speak. You'll get first come, first serve, and you can say what you like and we'll answer. So to start us off is Doobie. Sorry, I told you to shut up.
It's okay. I canceled because you guys weren't recording, so I was going to wait until you did your intro.
Gotcha.
But the question was, is AI on infantry fighting vehicles and MBTs going to be able to swap ammo? Because now there's going to be a lot more squishy targets, and it'd be kind of bad if they wasted all their Sabo on them.
They will be able to. I don't know exactly when. That's been on the do this when we have time list for a while. If we're like utterly swamped with bug fixes before the initial release of infantry, it might not happen at that time, but it will happen.
Okay. They'll probably use coax most of the time anyways.
Yeah, right now they know to swap to coax for troops within coax range.
And the other question is, can they occupy enemy trenches, like dive in and shoot the guys inside?
No,
or they just shoot from a distance and walk past them?
So we thought about it, and the animation requirements and AI changes for having like a trench clearing CQB kind of situation are a little more than we wanted to take on right now. So what's going to happen instead is when they get in grenade range, they'll throw grenades.
So they'll just clear with grenades accurately, and then that'll be the mission.
Yeah. That's okay. And that's pretty well where I didn't get any footage of it because there were some glitches with the grenade scripts at the last minute. But in the tests we've done so far, that's a tag team effort between me and Kavi, actually. They can land a grenade anywhere that we tell them to, like, perfectly. Might build in some inaccuracy, I'm not sure, but yeah, exactly. But basically, when they get in range and they say, okay, there's guys in trenches and they need to not be alive anymore, they're going to land a grenade there and kill them. Like, that's the solution. It should work fine.
Speaking of grenades, is the RKG-3 anti-tank grenade going to be available at the start, or is that going to be a bit later?
I'm not sure if it's going to make it into the start. I know we're working on it, and it is a pretty important piece of Cold War, especially PACT anti-tank procedure.
I don't think NATO really has an equivalent, at least for USA, right? They just have a bunch of laws everywhere.
Yeah, I think that's pretty true. It's been a minute since I read the Order of Battle in detail, but that is my impression, that NATO didn't have a lot of...
Oh, 40mm AGDP, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that might be a thing too, although I don't know how many M203s you're going to see in squad composition-wise. Like, right now we just are testing with basic anti-tank. We have a bunch of laws or a couple RPG guys per squad, and it's different based on the army that's being depicted. We have presets for it, but we haven't done 40mm testing, and we haven't finished the RKGs yet. Or, I mean, the models are there, but like I said, the mechanics for grenades are still being tuned up. So we'll see how it's looking once we've refined it a bit. It's possible that we'll release with just law and RPG at first, and then add stuff later.
And I assume light machine guns or medium machine guns are probably going to be a bit later too, right?
Likely, yeah. We've got AKs and M16s for now, and that's effectively all the features you need. Like, they shoot at each other. Everything after that is just flavor, so it comes down to when we have time and when Harry has time to put stuff in.
How is resupply for anti-tank handled in trenches? Like, can they get infinite laws if they go to, like, a supply point, or do they just have the laws on them and then they run out and then it's over for them?
The trench emplacements, there's an emplacement system that we use for attaching infantry to stuff. So those slots in the trenches where they're kind of hiding are actually classified as emplacements. And those, correct me if I'm wrong, Kavi, I think we have ammo set up per emplacement, like spare ammo. Is that right? Or was that still being planned?
Yeah, I think that's the setup that Jaden stopped on at the moment.
Yeah.
So, I have to work out the final bits with him, though.
Right. But it looks like the plan is that there's going to be kind of a virtual ammo cache at any defensive position, which means they'll have quite a few more rockets than they would normally carry, like mobile.
So if it's an emplacement, do the troops stay there the duration of the mission, or can men move around in the trenches from fighting position to fighting position?
They can leave and enter the trenches, not in a very smoothly animated way, but they can. As far as going within the trench, I don't know about that. I think that's on the list of things to look into, but it's not currently implemented.
That'd probably be closer to the like a trench assault thing if that ever happens, right? Because yeah, that's probably some more requirements.
It's not as bad as the trench assault requirement, because it's kind of like moving a guy on rails from one place to another. The trench assault one, they would need to not only move on rails, but also properly do combat stuff while locked into that system. It's a little more. But yeah, I think that was on the list of things that we would like to do for polish if we have time, have them be able to move between trench positions in the trench.
Okay, well, that's all the questions I can think of for now. I'll leave the stage.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Good questions. To jump on to something that you said at the end, the if we have time, obviously infantry is not going to be released and then it's done. It's going to be one of the major pieces that we will then start rotating fixes and other features into at that point.
Yeah. No, it'll be a core piece of the combined arms combat experience in the game. I always say if we have time for stuff, that because it's like you gotta hedge your bets with any kind of public prediction, you know?
I'll hedge your bets.
Damn.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't come on here to get got in front of an audience. I'm not into that shit.
But you're also very right.
Yeah. Alright, what else? I kind of want to watch that infantry teaser again. If the stage had a video portion, I would just play it again.
That would be cool, but we all can't have nice things.
Yeah, it's on the VOD, though. I'll probably pull the download today and see if I can get it up on YouTube soon, because I know people are going to want to watch it.
What was your favorite part of stitching that all together? What's your favorite scene?
I liked the RPG scenes a lot. I think probably a lot of people would agree. But
they're great.
Yeah, it was like once we had the mission set up in a way that you could reliably get vehicle kills happening, I went and recorded a few of them, and every one of them I was like, oh man, this turned out so well, this is going to look sick. And I think it was correct.
The two spots that jumped out at me were the taking cover from shots hitting around them. That was really cool. And then the ragdolls, which came out really well.
Yeah. I've spent enough time tuning those in development that I was glad to be able to show them a little bit. I was being really careful with the pacing too, because at first I wrote notes about what kind of stuff do I want to show. I want guys moving in the open, I want this, I want that, RPGs, trenches, whatever. I put ragdolls on there, and I got a bunch of scenes recorded, measured the time that it added up to, and said, okay, I can fit it to this song, and I need to cut like a minute of footage and also rearrange everything. And I made these clusters of topics in the clips, and I found that I had a bunch of ragdoll clips, and I was like, well, I can't put these all in one spot, because then it's going to be like this morbid chapter of the teaser where you're just like looking at dead people.
Yeah.
So I had to find a way to intersperse them into like the story of the teaser in a way that felt natural. Like, oh, we just showed shooting at a trench. Of course you're going to see dead guys in the trench. Mm-hmm. And I think worked. I think it felt pretty natural, and I was able to show most of what I had recorded, or all the chosen clips anyway, without making it feel out of place. It was a good exercise. I enjoyed doing something that was different from my usual wheelhouse, but I still think I'll have other people with more practice make our trailers still from now on.
Yeah, if it wasn't relatively short notice, there are a few names that come to mind that probably would have really jumped or at the opportunity. Yeah. But you did really well. It came out great. Let it be known that Josh is really good at staring at dead bodies.
That's definitely the takeaway for this.
Yep. Yes, it is. Custard, let's get you in here.
Yeah, I saw no one was answering or asking any questions, so I thought I could chunter away for a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I also thought the sizzle reel was really good. And I was especially impressed by the popping up and shooting the RPG and then ducking down from the returned fire. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to see live.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very impressive to see it kind of work so well in a real situation. As much as that was a real situation.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you can see where they hid, and often you have a good enough angle on the trench that you can hit it with a main gun round and kill them with the blast damage, but it's still not a cakewalk. Like, if you had a Bradley or something, maybe the HEI would do it eventually, but yeah, the hiding is going to make them not, like, trivial to kill. It's cool.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of people's worry, is that they just stand around like idiots and get slain, but it doesn't seem like that at all.
Yep.
I don't know, you said something about before the stream about holding back from comments. It just reminded me, did you ever know much about IL2, the new IL2 game?
The one that they're working on, or the newest one they released?
The Sturmovik one, the Battle of Stalingrad one. Because Jason Williams was the executive producer of that, and towards the end of his tenure there, he would just let people have it on the on the forums with and it was pretty funny. I think half people loved him for it, and half of them hated him for it.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do have a real question.
Sure.
In the stream, I think it was really interesting how you mentioned about the M60A1 and the commander having the rangefinder. Open-ended question: What vehicles do you think will be most affected by the addition of the commander station? Because that will obviously add a lot of uniqueness and character to each of these vehicles.
The obvious answer is the M60, because it has that quirk that the commander does the rangefinding. But maybe an underappreciated one is the PT-76, because the PT-76 has a Stadia rangefinder only in the commander's optic. There's a standard commander's cupola optic in every packed armored vehicle, more or less. Everything from the tanks to the BTRs, they pretty much have the same reticle and everything for the commander. And he can look around. There's often a spotlight attached to it as well that points where he's aiming his scope. And it's like a CITV almost, but the analog primitive version of it. No thermals, just a swiveling sight. So once that is added, the PT-76 will finally have a rangefinder of any description, because the gunner's sight does not have one.
Do you have, because I know you've done like a certain number of phases of recording the voice lines, did you I'm sure this has been answered before, but did you record voice lines for range callouts?
We did, but we haven't tried implementing them yet, and I'm a little afraid that if we do, we're gonna get Arma syndrome really bad and decide that it's not gonna work. The problem with that is voice acting is hard, first of all, just in general. But even if you have a good idea, like you get an actor who sounds good and they get the script, there's certain requirements that are not intuitive for a project like this. You can tell somebody to read off a list of numbers and it'll sound like ass. It's just not suitable at all. You have to construct the script in such a way that it eliminates as many mistakes as possible. For example, when I was having them record the range numbers and also the callouts for directions for Soviet crews, I had not individual numbers on the list, but I had full phrases where I would change the number each time. And then we had our audio guy cut out the numbers from those phrases so they could be spliced in. Because then you're, if you say something as part of a phrase, you subtly change the way it's intoned, as opposed to just saying a number by itself. And all of a sudden, it'll make the difference between sounding like it's part of a sentence or sounding like it just got spliced together. Target that man, 300, you know.
The classic.
Yeah. So I think it turned out pretty well for the Soviet voices. We were still working on that technique when we had the range numbers recorded, especially for the English lines. That was our first set. It's been a long time since I looked at that result to see if it was suitable. I honestly have no idea if it's going to work. So maybe one day in the future we'll say, okay, we have these different crew stations set up. It would be useful to have the commander call out a range. What can we do? And then I'll find out if we need to re-record or alter our audio in some way, or if we just lucked into doing it right in the first shot.
Awesome. Look forward to it. There might be another real question. No? No?
Yeah.
Is there?
I think there's one. Doobie. Unless you've got another.
Oh, no, Doobie. No, I got a stupid one. You can have Doobies. Okay.
No, give me the stupid one.
Okay, so now we've got infantry. When are you recreating shot for shot the Bradley second to none promo reel?
Well, thanks for the question, Custer. That was really good of you. So, next up is Doobie.
hold on. I am going to answer that.
Fine.
We, a couple of years ago at this point, licensed the song World Beater by, what's his name, Andy something. That is the song used in the Second to None commercial.
How's that go?
Anyway, that song, yeah, I know this is what you pay for, you're welcome. That song would be really cool for a teaser once we have infantry visibly debarking vehicles, which is not in the feature set for the initial release of infantry. So I don't know when Second to None trailer is happening, but if I have my way, Second to None trailer will happen.
Yeah. I look forward to that. Also, Custer, I was just fucking with you. Like, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Doobie. You're back, I see.
Yes.
He do be returning.
Stop that.
No more puns.
It's been a while since I've done that one. I gotta do it.
Anyway. Right.
So, in the trailer, we saw infantry moving and deploying out in fields with vehicles nearby. How clean is that? Like, is there a pretty good chance currently that the vehicle might collide with a squad or something, or do they keep their distance properly?
Interesting question. So, first of all, nothing's ever as clean as it looks in trailers. There's definitely still some movement quirks to work out. I had to scrap some footage from people doing strange maneuvers.
I was thinking, but it looks suspiciously clean.
Yeah, no, that's just how, that's just the way cutting goes. But as far as the actual avoidance, it's pretty solid. Like,
yeah.
When I was testing live a few days ago, and I had some of the guys on voice in the team, I had an M113, and there was a squad stopped, like waiting for their next whatever maneuver in the open field. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try to run them over. And they kept running out of the way, and I could not hit them. I think I clipped a guy's foot one time. What?
Needed tactical roll dive out of the way.
No, they just fucking run.
And they do it with a really good idea of the speed of the vehicle that's kind of, you know, barreling towards them. So they get a good amount out of the way. And then if you're, like, say, actively trying to hit them or turning into their range, they're going to adjust on that. I think it took you several attempts, Josh, before you did get that clipping of the foot. And then at that point, some bugs showed themselves, not from the foot being clipped, but just because of, like, the distances that you had to squeeze them down into, that it was just like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's fix a couple of these.
And then we did fix them.
I had to fool them into being hit, too, because I think, what did I do? I had to deploy a squad and then recall them, so they wanted to go toward the vehicle, and they were also... They went to a walk speed instead of a run speed, and then I was finally able to hit them. But yep. It was like, and then that's already been fixed even. But yeah, it was very tough. I remember in a previous stream, we said something to the effect of, if you're planning to go run over troops, you're going to be disappointed. And a bunch of people got kind of butt mad about it. They were like, oh, what kind of a tank game doesn't let you run over? This is absurd. Well, people don't want to get run over, so yeah. If they see a tank coming, they're going to move, and that is working extremely well right now, to the point where I was trying to do the vehicular whatever. I was trying to do a driver track troops, and it did not work, and I'm pretty excited about that, actually.
Yeah, it went well.
Just don't add a stamina bar, and they'll be able to dodge forever.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. They're very now, good.
Gunner Heat Elden Ring.
Yeah. Can a full speed Abrams catch him? Just barreling across open fields?
Full speed? What were you in that was extremely fast that we all thought would just.
It was the M113. I got a good head of steam going.
Yeah.
So I came in at 60 kilometers an hour, and I couldn't hit them because once they see you coming, they still have enough time to sprint laterally, and you can't turn fast enough to nail them.
I think they juke you and, like, change direction last second if it's the best option?
Yeah, they do. They're constantly evaluating the correct ideal dodge direction when they're in their dodge routine. They have, like, the equivalent of an aim bot for avoiding vehicles.
Yeah.
And then packed troops will just chuck an RKG at you as you pass.
Yeah, most likely.
RPG you, more than likely, yes.
Well, both.
Yeah. Like, if you're trying to drive head-on to back troops, they'll notice you first, and they'll treat you as the active threat, effectively.
Oh, yeah. Because the range of the RPG is well past the range of running out of the way, so you'll have to get through that first.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it'll be too common of a thing, unless you just somehow kill all the RPGs first.
People will do it eventually, and then they'll point and laugh, and we'll just be like, okay, you did it, great. But the deaths will not be... They'll be very unceremonious. It won't be like, oh, I got all these squishes, I got all this blood spray everywhere. It's just gonna be like, okay, you did the thing, great. Your guys are being shot at on the other side of the map. You should probably focus on that.
So how... APCs and their squads maneuver together when initial introduction happens. Are they going to walk behind or walk out in front, or is there
depends.
Multiple options?
It depends on what the mission designer does, because right now AI don't have a concept of loose pairing or anything like that.
So they don't team yet? They just move with the timing the mission designer has?
Yeah. Which works pretty well in practice. There were some clips in there of BTRs slow rolling and guys walking alongside. They can stay synced for a good bit just based on mission triggers and waypoints and stuff. It depends how detailed the mission designer wants to be. Like I was hinting in the stream earlier, there's a lot of plans for things we could do for tactical AI at a higher level than the individual reactions. And if that starts taking shape, then we can start to do some more interesting combinations of movement and whatnot.
Okay, the third and probably final question is, U.S. infantry sounds like they're only going to have the law. Is the Carl Gustav and AT-4 going to show up a bit later so they're not as weak against T-72s and stuff?
If they're
being assaulted, because law won't do much to them, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there are a couple of other anti-tank assets being worked on. I mean, there's the Dragon. We don't have the setup and teardown working for that yet, so it's not going in at first.
I'm assuming the interim solution would just be to give them TOWs in the defensive position to help.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have pre-placed anti-tank assets like always. It's probably, I mean, we might even have a pre-placed Dragon that it can't be dismantled. It's just basically like a TOW. That'd be pretty easy to add. But there are a couple of other launcher models. I'm trying to remember which ones.
I remember the Carl Gustav was shown at some point in a teaser. I don't remember if there was an AT-4 or not. That would probably be right on the edge of a timeline, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think there's an AT-4 being made. Carl Gustav sounds right. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff. There's things being made for the West Germans. There's whatever. There's all kinds. But at initial release, it's likely we're only going to see Laws and RPG-7s.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else, so I'll hand it off to whoever's next.
Alright. Thank you. Next up is Nico.
Hello.
Hey. Hello, hello.
Oh my god.
Or as they say in your area, bonjour. Wait, yeah. It's good evening right now, isn't it?
Yeah, but
Bonsoir?
Yeah, it would be bonsoir, but yes.
Whatever.
Yeah, because we are starting with French. I'm going to defend myself. I was not the guy asking about the French army
we're not.
On the Twitch stream.
We know you were not on your payroll. We know Big France is behind this.
Oh my god.
Big baguette.
My question was just one. I think I had like maybe two Q&A ago or something, but I don't remember the answer, so I'm gonna ask it anyway, or maybe I'm misremembering. Do you plan on having more rare assets on the on battlefield for like the MiG-17, you know, stuff like that?
I'm not sure if there are specific plans for that, but that kind of stuff is pretty likely to continue happening. Basically, what happens is Harry is constantly doing research about what's good to put in the game and what would be likely to show up. And if he encounters a really cool, obscure thing that actually had a surprisingly relevant presence, he'll be like, oh dude, we have to add this. And then since he's the art lead, if he decides we have to add this and he makes a model, that's already like most of the way to it being added. So basically it's just like, if Harry catches a cool vibe, yeah, we're going to continue to see more interesting rare vehicles.
So we need to find the good vibes to send to Harry.
No, don't send Harry any vibes.
No, don't do that.
That's a good that's way to get it to not happen.
Bothering any of the devs means basically the feature you desire will just go backwards in time. Like, okay, let's just push back. Or more than likely, I'm gonna not do that. Go do something else.
Just, you know, just like sharing in the Patreon chat. Like, hey, I found this cool legal. Important word, legal source. Check it out, and not pushing it too hard.
If you want to do that, if you want to do vibe posting without making any kind of requests, then yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Harry in the chat, stay out of the kitchen unless you're dropping off supplies. Yep. Harry, do you want to get on voice, or are you just gonna stay? Just gonna hang out in the chat? Oh, he's in bed. Damn.
Oh, now he's just tempting us. Come on, man. Anyway.
Well, it was nice of him to stop by.
Yeah.
We can do the bit if you want.
The bit. I don't know what you're talking about. The bit? What?
Oh, okay. Yep. I forgot we always unceremoniously dispose of Nico at the end of his question time.
It feels very ceremonious, actually.
Yeah, it is becoming ceremonious at this point. It's like a whole to-do. Arc Firefox is up next.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Howdy.
Yes, I have a question about infantry.
Whoa.
If you take out the anti-tank teams here, is there a chance that any friendly infantry that are still alive will be able to pick up those weapons and continue the fight?
Not currently, no.
Gotcha.
That stuff and their equipment drops, and then the existing infantry continues on either to their objective or ideally to get back into their vehicles for protection.
Well, I don't know the exact circumstances where they would get back in vehicles, but
those are the things. When Commander basically equipment used them. But
those are the things that they can do right now. They can move, they can shoot, they can get in and out of vehicles.
All right, cool. Yep, that's the only question I had. Thank you.
No Thank problem. You.
Yeah, I'm glad the shot reaction thing works, like ducking in trenches and all that, because at least a little bit of self-preservation makes them look like they have brains and they're not just, you know, robots walking around. Still trying to tune up a little bit of the animation stuff, though.
I'll get there.
Yeah. I had to put that big work in progress label on the teaser, not just out of custom, but because it's legitimately like stuff will change.
Indeed. And we've noted as much, so like doesn't mean it's done. We're gonna keep working on that. It's gonna be part of our regular feature set.
Mm-hmm. Certainly not going to be a one-and-done release. Like, once infantry are in, that's a big piece of the experience. We'll probably slowly have to go back and add them into missions or decide per mission, like, is it worth it to change this? Because I guess over time, the missions become legacy as the features in the game outpace what was available when they were made. And then we have to decide, do we put the mission designers on revisions, or do we keep them making new stuff? And sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other.
And then the mission designers themselves will just tell us, like, alright, this is cursed. This does not work anymore with our setup. It's just like, alright, legacy it, moving on.
Yeah, like, notably, Point Alpha, most of the missions in Point Alpha aren't going to change because Point Alpha map is old enough that it has a bunch of issues now. It's not stuff that you see in the game necessarily, but working on the Point Alpha map is kind of a pain in the ass right now because our tech that we use for terrain and stuff has outpaced that setup, and now it's broken in funny ways in the editor. The missions in that map are not going to get touched. Some of the other missions are too old or too far from standard. They wouldn't get updated, but some of them will. And then there'll be new ones. By the time we get out of early access, it's likely that the mission list will not be the same for the most part. Like, stuff will get cycled through as we go. They're just kind of, we have what we have, and then as the game progresses, we have new content that adapts to that progress.
Mm-hmm. Who's up next?
Fritz.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Ahoy.
Great video. I loved the audio, especially on the RPGs. I thought that was amazing. Will the infantry be able to take out like our optics and everything like that? Is 5.56 rated for that?
If they were to shoot at you, they probably could, but they are currently not going to do that. They we specifically tune them to not be dumb enough to attract attention to themselves by shooting their rifles at tanks. They will only shoot at stuff that they have a good chance of damaging. I think right now their valid target list for just a standard rifleman is other troops, guys on emplacements, and trucks. Anything beside that, they won't bother.
Gotcha. I also kind of noticed that there wasn't, like, tracers or anything, so that'd be real hard to figure out where it was coming from, too.
Yeah. Yeah, most infantry rounds are not tracer, which is nice for us, because then we don't have to render additional tracers when there's a gunfight going on.
Will the mission editors be able to add, like, anti-tank ditches and everything like that, too?
I'm not sure about anti-tank ditches specifically, but all the entrenchments are hand-placed in missions, so yeah, whatever kind of entrenchments are in the asset list, they'd be able to add.
And last thing, AGS, is that something that's possibly on the list? Because that looked like a juicy AGS target when all those infantry were dismounting off the M113s.
I think we've looked into Mark 19s and things like that, but I'm not sure if I can confirm anything right now.
Fair enough. Well, y'all have a nice afternoon.
All right, you too.
Thanks, you too. More people need to tell us to have a nice afternoon.
Yeah, I need someone to nudge me to do stuff like that. If no one suggests to me to have a nice afternoon, I'm just going to have a shitty one. All right, good. Thank you, chat.
Thank you. Thank you, chat. Chat knows where it's at. Custard, I didn't get a chance. You're damn right you didn't. With your very excellent question. Oh, boy.
We have another request from Lirimi. Lirimi?
Lirimi.
Hello. How are y'all doing today?
Not too bad. Good.
I was wondering if we're going to see more infantry emplacements, like, sort of along the lines of mortars, like that.
Hard to say. I know we have thought about stuff like that, but it comes down to, like, what's the order of importance for prototyping and deciding if it makes sense in the design and so on. So, yeah, I don't know. Not yet.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
No problem. Now that we have the base systems more or less in place for infantry, it kind of opens us up to prototype new things. So I know that's something we've talked about. We've talked about movement of other kinds of emplacements, like equipment that would take more than one person, basically. And yeah, those will be cool to try and figure out. We've done some basic prototyping, but it was very preliminary, much earlier than when we would say, okay, cool, this could be neat, but let's work on other things. So that's where we're at right now. The whole people asking for leaks, the whole stream was a giant leak. Yeah, I mean, you guys got a teaser of what we've been actively working on. That was a pretty big leak. I suppose if you wanted to leak something, you could throw something from the dev chat. Because some people have seen some infantry stuff so far.
We did have a pretty big leak, though, that is true. Like, the stuff that we've been showing in the dev chat is basically the kind of content that was in that teaser reel, but just way ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if Harry has something in mind that would be good to show, then he could, but I don't know. I don't know about that.
There's a very cursed infantry face in the chat right
Doobie,
now.
Doobie, what did you do?
I don't know whether to enjoy that or whether to cry.
Harry says he's got no leaks. All right. It's going to be leakless Sunday, folks.
They got a pretty big leak.
Yeah, okay, let's be real. Should I post the teaser reel, like, as a standalone in the patron chat or something like that?
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't have to go three octaves up and just, you know. yeah, I could do that. It's too large to embed. I think I have it on a Google Drive link, but maybe I'll do... If I do unlisted YouTube video, then everyone will spread it around anyway. It's probably fine.
And whatever. We'd rather you don't share it outside of patrons. It's up to you. I don't care.
It is on the stream.
Yeah.
But that's
not really matter. Yet.
I don't know. I guess I would say wait till the stream goes up.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Can you link the Google Doc of all the planned essays? Are you talking about the one that shows only the ones we've revealed already? Because that's pinned in GHPC discussion. That should be pretty easy to find. Yeah. No, we obviously we're not going to show a document of all the actual every planned asset.
Can we link our GitHub project page?
Yeah. yeah, the one I mentioned on stream is the one that shows only things we've revealed, and that is pinned in GHPC discussion. Let us into your brain. Yep, sure enough. Good. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We've still got like 13 minutes or so in the hour.
13? Were we that late starting this?
At least in recording.
Oh, shit.
I mean, Audacity's got my time running, so yeah, that's the time.
All right, Custard, this is your second chance. Let's do this.
Patriotic duty to answer more questions and fill the air.
I mean, we don't need to fill the air. We could banter.
Send me out.
No. Now I want to hear.
So far, we've only seen East German infantry. Do you anticipate any significant differences between the Soviet infantry and the NVA? Like different RPGs, use of anti-tank grenades or not, etc.
I don't know about different RPGs. I think we were still trying to confirm some things about that. But the rifles that they have will be different. The Soviets ran AK-74s for the most part, and the East Germans have MPI-KM, which is an AKM clone. So, you know, very mild differences. Yeah, and as Harry says, they'll have different machine gunners as well when we add machine guns.
Fair enough.
What else you got?
Fuck.
Yeah, that's right. Put you on the spot.
Come on, man! It's a Q&A. Make with the Q.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I would have hummed along to the second to none if you let me, but unfortunately.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Bum, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
shit. Okay, infantry. Now that you've got infantry running around doing all their little things in missions, you previously mentioned how you were optimistic on the performance of infantry. Is that confirmed? Do they seem to have them swarming around? How many infantry do you think you can get for the performance impact of one vehicle, for instance?
Hard to make a comparison. I know that there's a test mission called Valley of Infantry that we've been messing with in the dev branch. That one runs pretty smooth. There's another one that's got some differences in setup, and it doesn't run as smooth. So we're trying to find out exactly what the difference is and see if there are any performance pain points that we still need to iron out.
Maybe it runs better if you have an alliterative title.
Well, the other one was called Dancing Devils, and it did not run as well, but maybe the devil is
and maybe the alliteration has a cost.
Yeah. As far as overall performance, we are not yet a feature set for what we want to have out for the patch. Once we get closer to that, which I suspect will be early this week, then we'll start putting it through its paces on actual performance metrics. Like, okay, let's run through the map. Let's see what all of these infantry guys are doing. Let's see if they're doing anything stupid with respect to their update routines, how much memory they're using, etc.
Yeah.
and kind of go from there.
And it always takes shape live as we use them in real scenarios, because as Harry mentioned in the chat, if you do just infantry, we had like eight squads versus eight squads, and it was fine.
Nice.
Which is like, I don't know, what was that, like 5 or 9 guys per squad?
Some of that effect, yeah.
Yeah. So that, like, if we just load up a bunch of, yeah, 9 guys per squad, there we go. So 8 squads of 9 guys each on each team. That's a lot of guys, and they were fine. They're using a much more lightweight version of the targeting and ballistics stuff than the vehicles use, which is adequate for small arms.
Definitely. It was good. If you got 144 guys.
Yeah, is that what that comes out to you? Then,
Maybe. Don't quote me on that.
I ain't doing math.
That's 12 times 12. I don't know if that's the same. Well, I don't know. Anyway.
Hang on.
It was enough. It was enough, guys.
They have simpler fire routines. They're not a ton of physics objects.
Yeah, they don't have the armor models that the vehicles do.
They don't have the object hierarchy that they also have to deal with in the vehicles.
Yep, that's true.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Overall, they're more performant.
So what happens is when you put them into a mission with a bunch of vehicles already, then it starts compounding whatever kind of load each individual part had, and we have to figure out if that's still running well enough and how to improve it if necessary.
And even then, after the fact, we'll still be doing that as we go through and add more features, so it'll only improve.
Amazing. I see Doobie has a real question now.
Okay.
See ya. Have a good afternoon. There you go.
Thank you. Jesus, that's all I wanted. Doobie, what's up?
Are we going to see little scouts with binoculars and all those wooden observation towers we see on the map?
I don't think those are tagged as anything in particular. I'm not sure if they ever will, or who knows.
I think they're just deer blinds, effectively.
Yeah, they're not like a military structure, I don't think.
Oh, I thought they were like border observation posts or something.
Oh, no, those are usually like bigger and like, concrete looking and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then my other question was something I'm trying to remember.
You got this. I believe in you.
Oh, what was the most difficult hurdle in the past couple months to getting this to a point where you can show it on stream?
Oh, boy.
I've got an offbeat one.
Which one's the funniest to narrow it down?
Oh, I don't know about the funniest. That's a funniest? Different question.
Yeah. Couldn't say that. The biggest hurdle, I guess, from an architectural standpoint is when we first started to, well, not first, when we began to prioritize this and focus on it from a, like, okay, it's not just going to be one guy kind of working on it, doing, like, Spartan features. We need a plan of attack for it. When I went in to kind of take that job on and see where our contractors were at, they had made a lot of good work and good progress, but I found out pretty quickly that it was a lot of piecemeal work on top of features as we sort of built up, and they had to, as they stepped off of this particular feature and went to do other work and came back, other things changed. So there's a lot of almost like spot welded pieces in the code, and the architecture that they built on top of wasn't necessarily the best to begin with for these particular guys. So there was a lot of back and forth at the start with our contractors to say, okay, why did we determine this is the way we go? All right, can we make this look better? And this is prior to me actually like even getting into the code, like just understanding where we were at the start of prioritizing this. And that's why I think when someone asked us either earlier today in the stream or in this, how long we've been working on it, the last 2 to 3 months has just been a, at the start of that time frame, it was like, all right, let's just see where we're at. And then let's go piece by piece. What is working? What is not working? And by doing that, it made up a plan of attack. But oh my god, that was seeing what we wanted to do and seeing how long it's been worked on in such a like kind of piecemeal state was just like, okay, this was a massive feature and we needed to do more prioritized work at the start.
I want to clarify from the beginning of that answer, that's not to say that people were writing bad code or something. It may have sounded like that. What's actually going on is since it takes a while to build something like this, and our understanding of what's needed develops as we see it taking shape, you end up having to go back and change things frequently. So it's kind of like a ship of Theseus situation, if you know that story, where you keep replacing parts gradually until it's not even the same thing anymore. If you made assumptions earlier on that need to change, then you got to go back and redo chunks of it, and yeah, it's a whole thing. It's just regular development stuff, but
yeah,
it's it can be a slog sometimes.
To put a greater emphasis on it, because I said it, but to make sure it's noted, like, this person was not only, or these contractors were not only working on this feature, but also when other pieces came up in other game items, we would ask them to take those on. So they'd switch out, and then maybe a week or two later come back to it, have to remember again what they were doing, and then go from there. And that's a heavy toll to put on people. So, like, at the start of the prioritization effort for this, it was like, all right, now it's just going to be focused on this. We're not going to have you sidewinding off to other things. I'm going to help manage that, and we can have focus time on this. And that was a big help.
Yep. Harry brought up a good example. When the customizer was added, that changed how every entity in the game is spawned and configured. And infantry had been developed for months at that point with no customizer and kind of static instances.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it needed to do dynamic spawning and customizing. So it's just, you end up going back and redoing stuff. That's just programming stuff. That's just development. But it still doesn't make it less of a pain in the ass when you do it.
Definitely.
My answer for what the hardest part is a little different, because I technically I agree with your answer. Overall though, I think the hardest part has been pacing it. The fact that we have a cadence to keep up publicly, and we're getting into really big complex features, we've kind of used up all the low-hanging fruit in this game. The roadmap items that we have left are very involved, and we are working on them ahead of time and in parallel and, you know, on an ongoing basis. But eventually it comes time to lock in and finish one. Yeah. And when we do that, there's this kind of game of chicken where we have to decide, do we want to go all in and delay an update and just bank on being able to release the thing? Or do we slow down a little bit so we have time to keep developing filler content? And that's a balancing act. I think we've done pretty well overall, but since our marketing is basically just the game and features that show up in the game, so we have to make sure that cadence remains in place. Otherwise, people will read it as a signal that the game is dying or there's a problem with development. And that is not the case, but we have to make sure that we, whatever people think game dev is, we kind of have to be bound by that and informed by it when we make our decisions about what to
more
do.
More shiny equals more game alive.
Yeah, yeah. And someone said it's about optics. That's exactly right. It's the material reality of developing the game is one thing, and that is what we live and breathe every day for our job. But we're aware that people cannot see behind the curtain, and even if they could, they might not understand why things are done a certain way. If you've never done it, you don't know. So we have to put this kind of front up of this constant progress. And if we're working on something particularly big and difficult, we have to find progress to show to make sure that people keep faith.
Yeah. There's 20,000 users in the Discord. Not all of them keep as close an eye on the game as some of the people who you might see in chat, you know, more or less every day. So when I do those pings for like, hey everyone, you know, bi-monthly dev stream, we get a lot of people coming out of the woodwork to be like, oh wow, is multiplayer there yet? Did you add this tank? Did you have that? And to them, they're gonna see their feature, their thing that they want is not yet done yet, and they'll just be like, eh, whatever. But then overall, they've got to also see, like, okay, they're still working on it. I'll still be interested, and I'll come back later.
Yep.
So we've got to, yeah, walk a fine line between, okay, we're putting out cool stuff still. I won't call it filler content. We're still putting out stuff that we want to put out. But, yeah, there are these bigger features that are just like, all right, now it's time to lock in. And I think we've developed a bit of a pattern on that in the last 4 months or so to try and get more people focused on certain pieces of work. I think it's been working to a point. Like, yeah. It doesn't have all the kinks worked out of it, but we've been making more progress, I feel, in the last 4 months on things that it's stuff that we've had to do.
Yeah, and, it definitely feels like we're doing a lot of the hard work right now. It's very thankless until it debuts, but we've got to push through it. Something was mentioned. Harry was talking about how Bundeswehr is probably the only upcoming change that's not going to be, as he said, ripping up the fundaments. The interesting thing about that is if we were to add the Leopard 2 right now, a lot of people would be like, oh, thank God, this is what I was waiting for. Like, I'm only interested in the game if the Leopard 2 is there. And it would be a very popular addition, but it would be a bad decision for us right now, because the amount of stuff that we have to do and the size of those tasks means if we are adding the Leopard 2 right now, we're fucking around. Like, what are we doing? We're just front-loading more easy jobs. And that's not a good call. We have to keep doing the difficult stuff so that we earn adding the Leopard 2 in the future, which is just a content add, which is not nothing, but it's a different speed. You don't take as many people and you don't do as much.
It's a solved process, pretty much.
Yeah, it's not a fundamentally risky maneuver. It's just more, you know, same old, same old. So
Leo 2, someone in the chat, Leo 2, or Fritz rather, Leo 2 seems like siding the house before you have the walls up. Not so much from a just mostly visual aspect, but it's deciding to put one fairly unimportant thing priority when there's so much other framework stuff to do.
Yeah, so it's every time I release an update on Steam, I click the button to put it live, and I see the automatically generated event post and all the comments on it. Those go to me, unfortunately, because I'm in the Steam system, I'm like the game owner. So it's like it considers it that I made that post, and I am subscribed to the comments, and I monitor them a little bit for like, oh, is something really broken or whatever. But frequently all I get is, okay, but when is the Leopard? When are you adding Leopard?
And the Steam forums and comments are hell. I hate it there.
Yeah. And surprisingly, ours are not as bad as a lot of games I've found out. I don't know what is up with Steam comments, but anyway.
Warno's discussions are even worse.
It's yeah, crazy. A lot of games that I enjoy that are like phenomenal games, or at least very good, if you were to read just the Steam discussions, you'd think they were trash. It's just insane. But the point is, I could make all of those people happy, or I could work on the game in a sensible fashion. So, you know, we do what we have to do.
Yep. And that's just the way it is. So full-time jobs to work out the priorities correctly and then execute on that plan and deliver the stuff.
Since we were talking about West Germany, I guess you guys would probably want to release multiple vehicles so you actually have an army as well. And that's not something you could just add a Leopard 2, well, because that would just be like the Leopard 2 without its supporting vehicles.
Sure, the Leopard 2 is kind of shorthand for... We would add multiple vehicles. I mean, we have multiple vehicles in development. There's... I think we've shown already the Martyr 1, the Leopard 2, the Leopard 1A2.
Yeah, there's probably a bunch more, though.
Yeah, there's stuff in development, but, you know, you'll see it when it's time. Okay, it is now past an hour. We have properly done the thing. So thank you, Doobie, for your additional topics.
We thank you for your service.
And, yeah, thanks everybody for showing up. As usual, this will go up on Patreon for future listening by whoever missed it, or if you want to hear something again. I'll be putting up the stream video soon as well. But for now, I'm going to go enjoy my Sunday. And I hope everybody else does too.
You all have a good afternoon, and bye-bye.